Clap your hands as unto the Lord. He's worthy. He's worthy. I'll always have a reason to praise him. I'll always, always have a reason to praise him. Amen. Man, I am so excited to preach to you because I love reading scripture and see something that I've been missing for a long time. I've been tore up for days. I about called revival yesterday so we could come down here last night. I told Brandon, I said, man, I'm ready to preach. And then I said, now they got to sing another verse. They're killing me. Man, God's word is so awesome. Amen. If I mess this up, I'll preach it again next week because I want to make sure that we get this. This is so important. Luke 18, 18. I want to talk to you about the rich young slave. I know we call him the rich young ruler, but he was in bondage. A certain ruler asked him, this is Luke 18, 18, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. You can go ahead and be seated. I've preached this before, I've talked about it before, and I've made this statement. I said, if Jesus told me that I was only lacking one thing, I'd be pretty impressed. Because how many people in here feel like you're lacking in areas more than just one thing? Most of us, right? So I said, man, if Jesus said, there's only one thing you lack, I would be surprised. I'd say, man, I'm doing good. There's only one? I thought there was more. But I'm so excited that it's just one. But as I read this scripture, I found out that one thing that he was lacking is the most important thing. Let me go on. He said, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. The emphasis of the story is he weighed out, should I sell all of my stuff and give to the poor so that I could inherit? But I missed the point. I missed the whole point. And it's just in just a few little words that made me miss every bit of it. He calls him good teacher. He says, good master. And a teacher, if you look this word up, what it means is one who teaches concerning the things of God and the duties of man. A teacher teaches you the things that you need to do. He instructs you on the things that you need to perform. That's what the teacher does. And so if you notice, Jesus begins to play the teacher. He says, you know the commandments. And he gives him five commandments. But I want you to notice which five he gives him. We understand that in the Ten Commandments, there are five that have to do with their relationship with God. And there are five that have to do with their relationship with man. Notice the five that he gives him. He gives him the five that has to do with his relationship with man. He says, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't kill, don't lie. And he says, all of these I have kept. He left out the five that had to do with his relationship with God. He left out the five that had to do with relationship. He was giving him the duty that he needed to perform, and he said, I got that down. The problem was he just didn't talk to him as teacher. He also talked to him as God. He said, why do you call me good when there's none good but God? So he gives him the teaching lesson first. Here's the problem. If we just give the teaching lesson, we got people who are performing out of an act of duty, not out of act of relationship. I hope you can hear me today. How many people have served God for so many years and you felt like there was things that you absolutely had to do to make it to heaven, please raise your hand. So long I served God out of contract. I have heard preachers get up and preach and say, I've got to praise him because I'm under contract. And that was good preaching to me. I can't help it. You might not be, but I'm under contract. But I found out something. I'm not under contract. You see, Moses would lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Joshua would lead them into the promised land. I've spent so much time trying to get people out of Egypt without telling them about the promised land. What are you saying, preacher? I've told the sinner, you got to come out of sin, but I've not really showed him what was on the other side of the Jordan that was waiting on him when he crossed death. I thank God for Moses that led me out of Egypt, but oh, thank God for Joshua or Yeshua that took me into the promised land. I hope you can get this because I've served God out of contract before. There's a difference. He said, I've done all these things. From my youth up, I've kept the contract. We got to understand the Ten Commandments were not a contract, they were a covenant. They're called the tables of the covenant. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the pictures that you see of the Ten Commandments and what they've had in federal buildings for years until recently is not the way the Ten Commandments look. We took for granted that there was five on one side and five on the other, and that is not in your Bible. Y'all getting nervous at me now. Honey, does that mean we got to take that picture down we got hanging up in there? No, we just need to read the Bible and figure out what's going on here. That was a covenant. That was a covenant. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 13. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon two tables of stone. He called it his covenant. Watch what this says. Listen to this. He declared unto you his covenant, not y'all's covenant, his covenant. When you enter into a covenant, there are two parties involved in a covenant. Amen? Two parties involved in a contract. I guess you could enter into a contract with yourself. That would be weird. You would sign one paper and you would sign the other paper. Shake your own hand and agree. A contract is between two people. But he said, he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. The rich young ruler, as we call him, said, I've kept that. I've kept the commandments. I've done that, which I was commanded to do from my youth up. And he wrote them up on tables of stone. Why stone? Because he wanted them to last a while. Amen. Let me go on. This is going to mess with some of y'all people. And you may have to take those pictures down. Exodus 32 and 15. Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony, it's now called the table of the testimony, were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. Raise your hand if you didn't know that. Oh, come on, really? Raise your hand if you're just too ashamed to raise your hand because you should have knew that. It was written on both sides of each table. They were written on both sides. Listen to this. On one side and on the other were they written. So your picture is wrong. Maybe not. Flip it over and see. We get these ideas in our head and we miss the purpose. This was a covenant contract. And when you have a covenant contract, some scholars believe that it was the same copy on both tablets. The more I study scripture, the more I tend to believe that's exactly what it was. It wasn't five on this side and five on that side. It was two copies of the same covenant. What? Okay, watch this. Somebody get me a table, two chairs. Sorry, we should have prepared, but right up here. Let's put it up here. Y'all should have knew I was going to preach this and needed a table. Now, this is just how they roll. Let's put you here. Let's put you here. So how's everybody doing today? Good to see y'all. Our church has entered into a contract with Essential Buildings. Signed a contract. Put the money down. By the way, I want to let y'all know this. This is so awesome. God is so good. God is so good. It's been about 6 weeks ago. We put $35,000 down on the building. $10,000 down on the plans, or to pay for the plans. The building fund is the same now as it was 6 weeks ago. God's good, ain't he? Actually, it's a little more, to be honest with you. We entered into a contract with them. And there was things that he had in the contract that I didn't like. So I called him and I said, man, I don't like this. He said, I'll change it. I'll send you an email confirming it. I said, send that or I won't sign it. He called me the next day. Did you sign that? I said, no, there's something else in there I don't like. And we went back and forth until finally I was okay and I felt good about it. And I said, okay, I'm going to sign this. Whew. Finally, you better be careful what you're signing up for. Amen? Come here, I want to enter. You want to enter into a contract? All right, you sit over here. Come on, Jason. Sit down over here. They're trying to come into an agreement. Come now, let us reason together. They're trying to reason with each other when you are in a contract, right? So we come to the agreement, whatever that agreement is. Now, you got to be careful because in a contract, there's things that we need to cover. We need to cover the elements of this contract, how it's going to work, what's the relationship between you and him, what you're going to perform, what he's going to perform. Oh, here's a big one. What's that one say?
How do parties terminate the agreement?
Oh, and we need to know how to terminate this agreement because it's a contract. See, there's this thing called breach of contract. Man, I know where I'm going and I'm about to shout. So once we come to the agreement, you sign. You said?
Yeah, boy, sign. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Doolin. Does that look like Thomas Doolin to you at all? Looks like a Lego. Go ahead. We're entering into a contract. I mean, that's up to you. Okay, read it. For all intents and purposes, let's go. That's even worse than his. All right, this one has been signed. Why is he signing another one? Why are there two copies?
That's so good.
We're about to have church today, I'm telling you. If you ain't a shouter, then you're going to shout. There's two copies of the same contract. Why? So he can take a copy, and he can take a copy, and he knows what he should do. He knows what he should do. But here's the main reason you sign a contract. Because you're waiting on him to breach the contract so you'll have something to fight with.
That's so good.
Are y'all with me? I had a guy one time that I worked for. He said, I want a contract. I said, okay. He said, I want a year contract on this labor you're about to perform. I said, yes, sir. And it was Y2K, it was the year 2000. We was doing all kinds of work because everybody just knew the power was going to go out and never come back. And we were working in all these people's houses, laying tile everywhere. They was putting stoves in, wood stoves, coal stoves, and they needed them for insurance purposes. Made all kinds of money off of it. And this old man was so grouchy. He was hateful. He said, you're going to write this in a contract. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I wrote out, and I wrote 00. And he said, oh, no. You write 2000. I was like, what do you think? They're going to think that's 1900, dude? Maybe you, not me. I didn't say it, but I was thinking it. I mean, this guy, well, here, listen, this is so awesome. He called me. I never signed contracts with people, ever, hardly ever. He called me and said, I got a broke tile and you're going to come fix it. Guess what I did? I pulled out the contract. I said, oh, sir, I am so sorry, but your contract expired last month and I can't come and fix it. I would have never known. And I would have fixed it for free, but I had a contract. It was his fault I wouldn't fix it. I said, sir, how did the tile break? I don't know. Faulty workmanship. I'm going to bust you in the mouth, old man. I was kidding. I didn't say it. I was thinking it. I said, where's it at? He said, oh, it's right underneath my door. I knew what happened. I've seen this 1,000 times. Old men take doors off and they put them back and they drop their hammer and they chip the tile. Seen it 1,000 times over and over and over. I said, I'm not fixing it. And now I know y'all are looking at me and getting all mad because I should have. His wife called me and said, sir, I know he made you sign that contract, but will you please come and fix this because he is very, very violent. I said, I'll come fix it. I said, what'd he do, drop a hammer? Yes, sir. Got down there and fixed his tile for him for free. And I said, man, don't worry about it. I would have never known had we not had a contract. When you got a contract, you know when he's not doing what he's supposed to do. And he knows when you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And that's the problem. I've been serving God with a contract for so long. And I'm always thinking, he knows what I'm doing wrong. He knows where I'm coming up short. He knows. And here's what happens. When you breach the contract, then that means he's relieved from his duties from the contract. God doesn't deal in contracts. God deals in covenant. Oh, you're not hearing me. He's not looking at me waiting on me to mess up so he can walk away. He deals in covenant. Yeah. Amen. We got people that serve God out of contract. Well, I got to do this, and this. Here's the problem with your contract. You've already breached the contract. Look at the person saying, say, you blew it. Not just once and not just twice. You've messed this contract up over and over and over. And you know why you don't approach him? Because you think he's dealing with you in that way and he's not. Give me that contract. This is awesome. What's that say right there?
Covenant agreement.
Oh, this is different. I said, this is different than a contract. The Ten Commandments were a covenant agreement, and there were two copies of the same covenant. Here's the way a covenant works. Well, let me read it to you. Can I read it to you? Never mind, I know what it says. Look it up. Wikipedia. Look it up. Wherever you want to look it up. The difference between a contract and a covenant is this. A contract is an agreement between two people that has an expected end. A covenant. A covenant is a relationship that is entered to and expected to last forever. You know know why you've been walking around without confidence in him? Because you think you broke the contract and he's walked away. I'm here to tell you, he ain't never dealt with you according to contract. He's always dealt with you according to covenant. Oh, by the way, a covenant comes with a seal. Let me try it over here. A covenant comes with a seal. Oh, preacher, you can break a seal. You can't break my king's seal. When he seals it, it's sealed until the day of redemption. Covenant. So you get a copy and he gets a copy. But watch what happens to the tablets. Watch what happens to the tables of stone. Watch what happens to the tables of the covenant. He takes both copies and says, put them in the ark. Why does he have both copies in the ark where his presence abides? Why would you have a copy? So you'd know. Why would he have a copy? So he would know. You know what he's saying? Give me both of them. Because you can't keep this covenant anyway. I'll keep it. Nah, you didn't hear that. He said, take that covenant and put it in my presence. Because the only way this thing is going to work is if you're in my presence. That's relationship, not contract. Lord, home interior messed us all up. Who wants to be covenant? You'll be what? You'll be covenant. That means you're a contract, right? All right, let's move this table down so we can do this. Man, I feel God in this place. Because when we realize how he deals with us, it'll change the way we deal with him. Who was you? Contract, you go first. Get over here, contract. When you write a contract, you write a contract with this. What can you do for me? What can I do for you? So contract is, I can. Covenant is not I can. Come here, covenant. Covenant is, watch the difference. Watch the difference. You see, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, and he says this. He says, oh, you great teacher, good teacher. Why are you calling me good for? Ain't no good. God's good. He says, but let me teach you something. And he gives him a lesson. He says, oh, yeah, I've kept all that. I can do that. I can do that. I've been under contract. I can do that. He said, there's one thing you lack. You lack the first five commandments. It's relationship with me. And you know what I really believe? The more I study this, the more I believe that he was calling him to become a disciple. Because he never called anybody else in the New Testament like he called this guy. Besides the disciples. What did he say? Go sell all you have. And we miss this. He said, come and follow me. We miss that part because we're so caught up on his selling his stuff that we forget what Jesus was offering him was a relationship. Follow means to accompany or join. Oh, I want you to hear this. Follow means come into union with me. What is he saying? I'm telling you this, rich young ruler, I'm better than anything you got. You can get rid of it and join yourself to me. This relationship all throughout Scripture is like a marriage. He's the bridegroom. I'm the bride. Look at the person we're saying, say, we're the bride. And what we should be saying is, watch the difference. Watch the difference. Do you believe? No, this is you. Do you believe that Jesus is enough?
I can.
Watch the difference. Do you believe that Jesus is enough?
I do.
Boy, it's got a different ring to it, don't it? Get it? Ring to it? All these years, I've been running around saying, I can do better. I can love him more. I can read more. I can do this more. When what I got to understand is I'm married to him and I do. I'm not just a hearer of the word. I am a doer of the word. Oh, man. Do you really believe that Jesus can heal?
I can.
He can believe that. Do you?
I do.
Do you love him with all of your heart?
I can.
Do you love him with all your heart?
I do.
You've been running around telling yourself you can, and he's saying you already have. Contract says it'll get done eventually. Covenant says it's already. Contract says if you can come a little bit higher. Covenant says I've already set you in heavenly places. Contract, covenant. Which way you walking? What are you walking under? Because let me tell you how you know the difference. When you mess up, you feel like he's ready to thump you on the head. Right? There's a difference. When you approach him, you're coming to him, you're approaching him with this contract. And he's asking you, what's going on? And you're saying, well, I breached the contract. And he doesn't have a contract. God... God has never dealt with you according to contract. You're running around with this contract, and he's looking at you and saying, I don't know where you got that, but you didn't get that from me. I got a covenant with you. You know him pretty good? You do? You know him pretty good? Come here, Amanda. Who on this stage do you think knows him better? I'm going to say it's his bride, wouldn't you? You know why? Because they just don't go to church together. They just don't just plan a one day a week meeting. No, sir. They're in covenant. They are in covenant. It's not just once a week. It's not because they're in covenant. She just don't sit at home and read books about him and drink coffee and post it online. She's in relationship with him. Let me say that again. She's not just opening up a book about him and saying, oh, I'm reading about my hubby. No, she is in covenant relationship with him, and they have bore fruit because of that relationship. Contract people get with him once a week. Covenant people take him home with them. I said covenant people take him home with him. They're in relationship. Y'all good? Y'all good? Am I going to have to re-preach this? Are we okay? Watch this. Revelation 21:9. I got to hurry. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. The Lamb has a wife. He says, I want to show you the Lamb's wife. Watch this. Now this messed me up. Next verse. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city. He is married to a city. He's married to the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. He's married to a city. Yes, he is. The bride of Christ is a city set on a hill, and he will not hide her. Remember on the Little Rascals when Darla told Alfalfa, she said, "You're ashamed of me." And he said, "I'm not ashamed of you. I just don't want to be seen with you." Because he was in the He-Man Woman Haters Club. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Not at me. Everybody's like, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I know you watched it with the grandkids. When you were, well, man, I don't know. It's been a long time ago, ain't it? "I'm not ashamed of you. I just don't want to be seen with you." He said, "If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you." Let me tell you what he's not. He's not ashamed of his bride. How do you know? He put her on a hill. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Here's the problem. When you deal in contract, you think he's ashamed of you all the time. When you deal in covenant, you know you're the apple of his eye. Not because you can, because you did. Because you said, "I do," and now you're married to him. You got glory. I got to be careful here because I don't want to get none. Yeah, I don't care. If you're liberal, you can get mad. You know what the problem is? We got this Western idea of the bride posture. And we don't have Eastern idea of the bride posture. So here's what we tell girls. We say, "Now listen, don't you be dependent on no man. What you need to do is you need to go get you a job and have you a degree and get you a backup plan." And we've carried that posture into the church. Oh, preacher. You know what we say? "Jesus, I'll hang around as long as everything goes good. But when it gets bad, I got a backup plan." Let me tell you what you need to do. Rip up your backup plan, because he's dealing in covenant. He's dealing in covenant. What does that mean? That means if he said you're going to make it, you're going to make it. There is no backup plan. I was talking to Ian the other day, and I said, "Ian, would you ever leave our church and go somewhere else?" He said, "Where would I go?" I said, "That's not the answer that I was looking for." Like, what, you want me to give you ideas? You know what we look for? We deal in contract, and we're always looking for a way out. You know what we call them? Loopholes. When you deal in covenant, you're not looking for a loophole. "I just wonder what I can get by with without her busting me." Wait a minute. No, you're the good one. It's you. You're the bride. You ever like, "I wonder what I can get by with without him busting me." He's the good one in the story. "I wonder how much I cannot do this, and I wonder how much laundry has to pile up before he gets mad at me. I wonder if he ever would get mad at me." Human level, yeah. Spiritual level, he's covenant. Yeah. Listen to this. When he said, "I do" to you, he said, "I do forever." Amen. You know what the problem is? You are too unlawful to be his wedded wife. Oh, can I say that again? When you deal in contract, you're too unlawful to be his wedded wife. You break too many rules. Because I know you're trying, and I know you're determined, but you're doing it out of contract and not out of relationship. His will was put to the test. He bore torment upon his flesh. You, the bride, were the reason that he did that. He told you he loved you. How much? He showed you. Listen. I said he told you he loved you. How much? He showed you. We call it crucifixion. He called it proposal. And when you marry him, you don't even have to remember your anniversary, because I yet to find a calendar with a date called eternity. Come on, Aaron, come on. Forever I'm in covenant. In a few weeks, I'll have been in covenant with her for 28 years. She's messed up. 28 years we've been in covenant. You know what? I can hurt her worse than anybody in this world can hurt her. Emotionally, spiritually, I could destroy her world. But she's remained in covenant because she trusts me. You know them cookies she makes? She don't make them because she's hard up for cash. She makes them so people brag on her. You know what she trusts me? She trusts me to get out of bed every morning and go to work. Do you set an alarm in the mornings? Early when my alarm goes off? Most of the time. No, most of the time. You set an alarm when you need to get up, right? You don't set an alarm because you don't think I'm going to get up, do you? You know why? Because she trusts me. Somewhere between 4:10 and 4:30. You know, they say the guy that invented the snooze never invented anything else. She trusts me to provide. She trusts me to do the work. She got a debit card with her name on it. She has never once mined an ounce of coal. Because we're in covenant. We're in covenant. You got a backup plan?
No.
Say it loud.
No.
Say it with conviction.
No.
That wasn't part of the sermon, I had to know. We're in covenant. We're in covenant. We're in covenant. Do we make mistakes? Yes. Do we stay in covenant? Yes. Have we failed a time or two? Yes. Do we stay in covenant? Yes. Have we had reasons to walk away? Yes. Are we in covenant? Yes. I promise you, he has no backup plan with you. So that has to be my motivation. I love him because he first loved me. Man, I want somebody that I've preached to today to come up here right now and tear up this contract. If you do, we're going to pray with you. Say, you know what? I'm not walking in contract anymore. Tear it up. I mean, really tear it up. Where's my other contract? Give it to him. I'm not walking in contract. I'm walking in covenant. The covenant's in his presence. I am convinced. I am persuaded that he that hath begun a good work will perform it according to his covenant.